Welcome to the VAT update for October 2014, and in this month's edition we've got six items, one of which is really a question that doesn't relate to VAT specifically, but addresses how big is the tax gap and how much is the shortfall between what the government aims to collect and what it actually collects. Now, as part of that measurement of the tax gap, a paper was produced by Richard Murphy, and it makes an interesting read. But one of the graphs which it contains shows that people trust HMRC less and less. And an illustration of why that may be justified is in the first case, which concerned the Royal Borough of Kensington and Chelsea versus Revenue and Customs. Now, this was a case as to whether or not the local authority was entitled to a VAT repayment of £584,572, and it relates to a period which began 29 years ago and ended 19 years ago, and it was caused by HMRC, or then Customs and Excise, giving incorrect advice to local authorities that the fees that they charge for building control were liable to VAT, whereas I think that was just a very bad piece of advice. It's fairly obvious that it's a regulatory function and not part of a business. These fees should have been outside the scope. So in 1985, Customs and Excise issued incorrect guidance that resulted in building control fees charged by local authorities in England and Wales being subject to VAT. And it took until 1995 for Customs and Excise to recognise their mistake and correct it. Now, two wrongs never make a right. And in this case, Customs and Excise had been responsible for giving bad advice, resulting in VAT being charged when it ought not to have been charged. And in 1995, they gave an option to local authorities. One of those options was, to the extent that individuals reclaimed the repayment of VAT direct from Customs and Excise, the local authority would not make a claim. So the only people who had that evidence would be Customs and Excise, but they have a policy of destroying documents after 6 years. And so when this case finally came before the court, Customs and Excise had no evidence whatsoever about any repayments that had been made direct to ordinary people. But Kensington and Chelsea local authority had evidence that it had overpaid £584,572, and because this was a Fleming type claim, they submitted a repayment claim for this amount. HMRC's behaviour stinks in this case, because not only did they refuse to make the repayment, but they contested it on the basis that the local authority should have evidence of the repayments made direct to people who had approached Customs and Excise direct. Absolutely preposterous. The court ruled that the onus of producing evidence lay with HMRC, and it was their own fault that they had destroyed any evidence that they might have had. They made the policy, they chose what documents to keep and destroy, and they had made a number of mistakes in this case. As a result, they ruled the local authority was entitled to a repayment of the VAT it had paid in error. As usual, this podcast is accompanied by detailed notes which also contain links should you wish to research the matter further. I've already referred to Richard Murphy's paper, which at 85 pages looks at his estimate of the tax gap at $122 billion, whereas HMRC estimate the tax gap at $35 billion. If you've got some spare time, it's an interesting read, but I would observe that I think that Mr. Murphy's paper certainly expresses a very biased opinion. Another VAT case concerned whether spot the ball is a game of chance and therefore covered by the VAT exemption within Group 4 of Schedule 5 to the Finance Act 1972. In the Upper Tribunal, Mr. Justice Norris was sitting, and he ruled that spot the ball does not involve playing, because there's no interaction and no effect on any action taken by a participant on the outcome of the game. In fact, it's not really a game. And he therefore ruled that there was no game being played, and that posting a coupon was certainly not playing, and therefore the fees charged to enter spot the ball were vatable because it was not covered by the gambling exemption in Group 4 of Schedule 5. HMRC have also issued new guidance on VAT registration, which might be helpful to clients if they are intent upon completing their own VAT return and VAT compliance. They've also issued a new business brief on 3214 on their policy on holding companies, which has not changed. But if you're involved in this following the BAA decision, it might be worth a read. And finally, HMRC have published updated guidance for the VAT treatment for barristers and advocates. This is a new notice 700/44, which explains the rules which apply to VAT-registered barristers or advocates, and it's certainly worth a read. Thanks for listening.